Shabado Shobra Belegade, Masaka Talabrando, Brobro Cotoroboho Sobradia. Yama Sotobo, Rakama Shagalada, Rakondo Brana Catalaha, Ilaboroko Sondolo Brabado, Rabababababaya Shata. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Glory. Please, you may be seated. Amen. Our exercise for this week begins in earnest today. If you are aware, we have been able to give your group leaders a section within the hall where you all, under your group leaders, need to bring in your disciple and situate them there. If you don't know where the place is for you, you meet your group leader after this meeting. It will show you the section where you are to bring your soul this evening and sit them down. One of the things I'm going to try to do by the grace of God today is that instead of 5 o'clock, we'll close by 4:30. So I can have 1 hour or 1 hour, 15 minutes time to go and reach out to them. But your work in talking, in persuading, in compelling them to go out starts with what we're about to do right now. Two things are important when you are doing to establish a work of follow-up. You will need materials. The material you will need, number one, is the material of the discipleship training manual. Number two, it's always important while reading and talking to your disciple not to read from a phone or a tablet, to read from a hardcover Bible. A hardcover Bible. By the way, I don't know where I forgot my Bible. Maybe in this class, because I've been looking for my Bible since last week. A red Bible like that has my name on it. Praise the Lord. So a hardcover Bible, not from a phone or a tablet. Because discipleship is you setting an example of what the person will be used to. If you observe, and that is what you should be doing, is that every time Papa is teaching and he has taught in this class, the screen is not meant for you. The screen is meant for passers-by on social media who may bump into the message or who are listening and they have not come to the level of persuasion as disciples. And they may want to be listening to Papa and the scriptures is relaying the scriptures and their writing. And also number two, he helps Papa to cover time so that he can cover more ground while he's teaching. Because as he quotes the scripture is being relayed on the screen. Then Pastor Giles reads. He covers time. If he has to read by himself and open by himself, it's going to take a lot of time. We won't have the kind of time we're covering on social media. So the screen is not for you. What is for you is the hardcover Bible. Oh, I'm just starting. I'm not very fast. It's with perfect practice that you are perfected. You start, your notebook is in your hand, and at the same time, your Bible is also at your lap. As Papa speaks, you open with the left hand while you are trying to write with the right hand. That thing, as you keep going on, you become used to it. Because very soon, you're going to be sitting where your disciple is going to be sitting close to you. And he'll be watching how you are learning the word. And he will adopt automatically your method of growing in the things of God. So discipleship is both precept and also example. That's why it's good you pay attention to yourself because you are setting an example. You can't be in a church and you are reading and looking at things from the tablet or from your phone. That is how they're going to become. I remember the last time Papa spoke here, he said that notifications could pop up. Somebody could send you a message and that is already enough a distraction. And before you know, you'll be tempted. Your disciple that's growing up, you may be mature to handle that, but they are not. They will be tempted to tap to say, oh, who just called me? And all of that. But in a hardcover Bible, nothing can pop up. Only revelation knowledge. Yes, only insight and instruction can pop up. Nothing else can pop up. Praise God. Hallelujah. So these are the materials you need. Then I will try and make sure me and Pastor Ben, maybe as I'm done, I will move with him. That will see as many as magazines we can get so that you can go that to as a material. and the magazines you will give to them as a gift. Pay attention. I made a statement last week to class 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is that correct? 6, all right? Now, 7, 8, 9, 10 is with us. That when you go for evangelism, after you have greeted the person you have ministered the gospel to, and you are up, your mission is follow up, your mission is discipleship. Your first statement is that Dr. Abel Damina, Global Baba, sent me to you to greet you and check on you on how you are doing. And he has asked me to give you this. You are offering them a free gift of probably a magazine. We're going to see how even the book Eternal Salvation in Christ, whether it's available, we can make available. But first and foremost, there is how you had gone with them before you can give them that book. There is a level you had gone in your discipleship before you can give them that book. You don't give them that book immediately because they wouldn't know the value. But the magazines is colorful. The magazine is a gift that anyone that sees it will appreciate. You can give them a gift from our Papa. In discipleship, always quote your authority. Papa sent me to you. Papa asks after your welfare. Because and when we speak to people like this, we go back, we pray for your names, we minister over your names, and we now sit down and Papa knows that we have gone on evangelism and he cares for everyone that we have brought and we have told them they are born again. So as I'm talking to you now, Papa is aware of me coming here and is aware of your person. True or false, is he aware or not? He designed the curriculum. He designed discipleship. He designed evangelism. Anything that comes out of that, he's aware. So you are saying what is true and what is right. Very important. So these are the things you will need as material for evangelism. Then we have a kind of our flyers, or we have what you call a tracks. I don't know whether we'll have them anymore again, but with the population we have here, we can't have that produced for us to do ministry with. Tracks on tongues, tracks on salvation, tracks on which are the gift of tongues. There are about 6-7 topics like that. It also helps to open discussion on evangelism. It helps to open discussion on follow-up. But basically, as you go, if your disciple is not yet speaking in tongues, your mission is to get them filled with the Spirit. Then now comes the million-dollar question. Amen. The million-dollar question, which is the question of persuasion. Persuasion. How do I persuade somebody whom I have ministered the gospel to? First and foremost, you need to go over the things you people have done before. Oh, how are you today? After you have spoken with the person, I hope you prayed today. When you woke up, did you pray at all? I didn't really pray. No, you are supposed to pray. But Pastor, sir, Omar, I don't even know what to pray when I got up. That's why I am coming now to show you the step by step. I didn't come to get you born again and to leave you there. Because when your mother gave birth to you in the labor ward, she didn't leave you there. She took you home. The process of me taking you to safety where you can be cared for is the process I'm coming right now. So it's already understanding your mission that you'll be coming again and again to engage in this discussion. So now you are born again. In the spirit, you are a newly born. In the spirit, you are a baby in Christ. So me that I've grown, I can take care of my younger sister or my younger brother as a spiritually grown person. I can show you the way because I know things that you don't know yet. Things in the borderline of prayer, things in the borderline of even this gospel, the message of Christ. Then this is where you can also ask me a question. I will answer your question, all right? But first and foremost, when it comes to prayer, I know if you find that the person is not speaking in tongues, that will be the subject matter. If you must pray effectively, nobody prays effectively if he is not praying in tongues. For example, I can pray for 5-6 hours, which is surprising to him. You'll be wondering, what is it that somebody will be saying for 5-6 hours? Because he's just newly born again. You know how I can pray that long? It's by praying in tongues. That means as I pray in tongues, I pray in tongues. The Bible says I'm generating power. Let me show you in the book of James chapter 5. You go to James chapter 5. First, even before sharing on tongues, you are now beginning to share with the benefit of tongues. When I pray in tongues, I make tremendous power available. And that power is dynamic in its working. Dynamic means it makes so much power available that arranges and rearranges things. It breaks barriers. It shatters obstacles. It asserts authority and dominion that Christ has given you over the elements and the affairs of life. It's in prayer like that you generate power. Real power flows. You already have power on your inside. But for you to make that power available, for the power to get to work in your life and arrange things, is speaking in tongues. You're already stirring up his desire to hunger for tongues. You talk like that. Because that is the first point. You have not opened manual to start teaching. No. After you give the gift, you now start with the subject matter. And if the person is already born again, you now tell him that there is something you need to know. Now that you are born again and you speak in tongues, that means we have gone two steps. Number one, salvation. Number two, speaking in tongues. You see that now? Then we have gone two steps. Now, number three, the salvation you have received, I want to now explain to you what is it that is the reality? What are the facts? What are the unchanging facts? What does it mean? How can you function? This born-again life, how do they live it? What should my mindset be? There are things you need to know. My journey with you in doing that starts already. That's part of why I'm here. And I'm willing to have that time to take you through the journey. Are you with me? Yes, I am with you. And as you are talking like this, you are engaging the person in a discussion. You talk, you ask, and the person responds. You talk, because this time around, you are gisting. Because when you react, when you respond like that, you are building a robust relationship and creating a familiar ground for discussion. And you people begin to talk. He asks questions. When you say anything, is there any question to what I've said so far? Okay. So is that what speaking in tongues does? Yes, that's what it does. Okay. Then what about people who I hear them speaking in tongues? Their own is different from others. When that question starts, it's asking you questions and revealing to you the barriers and the hindrances. Why is having issue with speaking in tongues? And it's revealing to you reasons why he may not speak in tongues if you just are praying for him. So one after the other, as he asks that question, you will use scriptures in destroying those strongholds in his mind. Any other question about speaking in tongues? Some people say it's languages they were speaking on that day. They were speaking languages all over the place. But this one, somebody will be speaking one tongue. The another one is speaking another thing. How can everybody just be talking? Yeah, I don't understand. But I thought they say it's language, like Hebrew language, like Greek language, like Ibibio, the Igbos are speaking, Yoruba, everywhere is language. They now say, you too, look at it. Is that not a madhouse? It's a madhouse when people speak languages all over the place. Who will listen except God? It cannot be tongues. Then you show him, before even Acts of the Apostle, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, how that he that speaketh unto God. Ibibio, Yoruba, and Efik. Is he unto God? He's unto man. So that will not be tongues. You are pulling down strongholds from his mind. The moment you debunk all that, you now ask him, can you now see the reason why tongue is of God and you can speak in tongues? And let me shock you. Mary was among those who gathered together when they were there, and she also spoke with tongues. Mary spoke in tongues. James and Jude, the brother of Jesus, they spoke in tongues. So that means tongues is for every man. Then Mark chapter 16, 15, 16, 17, in my name, they shall cast out devils. And in my name, they shall speak with new tongues. Now you are a new creation. What God has given you is new tongues. Because you must establish the fact that the doctrine of speaking in tongues is solid in the beginning of their faith. What you are doing is what they too will do to their disciple. Tongues. As I said before, you need to teach tongues so that the moment they hear tongues, they understand, they start speaking in tongues, is when you get to week 13 and you start teaching on tongues, that they will now understand the doctrinal framework of what they have received. For example, you didn't understand everything about salvation. Papa taught Soteria 1, you say, wait, oh, don't be born again first. He taught Soteria 2, they go to Soteria 11 on the character of God. He said, this Soteria is where now you'll be ready to be born again. All of us will not be here. It's as you got born again, you started understanding through the teaching, the reality, the doctrinal framework of the experience that you have received in your life. Is that correct? So get them filled with the Spirit. Then in week 13 of your manual, you will now teach them about the doctrinal experience of that tongues. Are we on the same page here? That's why speaking in tongues is your next target after a man gets born again. Praise God. Amen. So at the end of that, some of you must have started already. You see, at the end of that, global Baba, pay attention to what I'm talking about. Global Baba, because from today, from this today, after you say he sent me with a gift to you, we'll see how we get the gift, all right? He sent me with a gift to you. After you finish talking today, say yes. And he also asks that he wants you to gift you with his presence. Is having a meeting. You heard the 30 Days of Glory. It's on right now. Global Baba wants to today have a time with you in the hall where he will see you seated down and you will have time to see him. You will have time to see him physically. And I will take you to church and you will see him physically because he has asked that you also should be part of the people. He would like to see you and receive you. In the day when we're growing up as believers, because of the honor for authority and the pastors we have over us, when we bring our disciples to church, it's not even to the most senior pastor. We bring our disciples to our pastor that is in charge of pastor administration. We used to have plenty of pastors that time. There's pastor in charge of administration. He runs the office section. Yeah, but pastor 1, 2, 3, 4. All of them are pastors, but they run different stuff. But there is the resident pastor one, who is the one that is directly after the pastor. Then there is resident pastor admin. So the resident pastor one, who is not the resident pastor admin, we don't need to bother the senior pastor. We bring our disciple, except they need to see the senior pastor. We bring our disciple and come and present to them. So everybody sit their disciple down, and pastor walks in. As he's walking in, we tell them, first, we are the one that set example. The moment pastor is coming in, all of us who want disciples, we stand up. When we stood up, they saw the way we stood up. All of them also stood up. That means that's how they behave in this place. Amen. They stood up. We are showing them honor from day one for our spiritual authority. And the moment they come forward, oh, pastor, thank you for the opportunity. We want to let you know that these are wonderful sons and daughters. These are born-again Christians. We praise and thank God for the work of God in their life. And in faith, because they believe in us, we ask them to come that you are going to have an audience with them. Here they are, sir. Then the pastor takes over from there and begin to thank them and begin to greet them and begin to encourage them. And they are happy that an authority of the church spoke to them. Because we are cementing their confidence in the local church. Do you understand that? Now that you are born again, Papa would like to see you. And it would be nice if we can come this evening. It won't take time. After the meeting, ask me a question or ask me what you observe, and I will answer you. Because in this journey, after you are born again, you will need to be in a local church. You will need to come and experience something. Just come. Even if it is once, just come. But you know that that once is not going to be once. But that once is going to shift something in their life. All right? That's the way it works. So that's what you call the compelling influence. They can bring excuses. You now tell them, no, it can be done. Okay, I close around six. No problem. If you close around six, I can come and get you. I can come and get you. I can get you from the house. Say, no, my place of work is far. I can wait for you. I can wait for you. When they see that you are not easily discouraged about the excuses, they'll start changing their minds. Sometimes the things they said, they are saying it because, first, they are not confident to walk into a church they have not entered, to walk into an environment where they know nobody except you. You are the only one that they know. So that psychology is there. So you, in all your relationship, you must make them have confidence in your person. And the moment you bring them, you just tell them, this is where we're sitting down. You sit down here, all right? All of us, you just sit there, bringing people, sit down here. Me, I'm around. See me here. Why I'm sitting here is because pastor asked me to sit there. The moment service close, I'm coming here to come and meet you. They'll sit there, especially as they are bringing them, you, the leader of the group that is there. Oh, you are welcome. You must start getting used to them. Don't see people sit on the same seat side with you. And no, you get used to them. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You receive them well. And as you receive them, they sit down. You tell them he's going to sit down there. After the service comes, we're going to close here. But me, I am here with everybody. Praise God. So I didn't come with the Bible. So if you didn't come with the Bible, don't worry. It's only your first day. Just be at home. We want you to enjoy the meeting. This is how we started our journey in the faith of Christ. So sit down and be comfortable. Don't feel anything. Even if they don't have an offering, tell them they don't have an offering, don't bother yourself. If you don't have an offering, don't bother yourself. Just sit down where you are. Yes, in this church, offering is not an issue. Because you have not gotten to the local church where you teach giving and other things. So that they will be comfortable. They won't feel out of place. People feel uncomfortable offering section. People are passing. They are giving them. People are passing. They now get exposed and they feel that I'm the only one not going out. That is where some of us will have disciples. You can put 200 naira bill in their hand. You can put 100 naira in their hand or 500. I tell them when it's offering time, people are going to go. So they too become emboldened. Offering is coming out. They are no more. Hey, and then I will go out and go and drop the offering and come and sit down. This is an act of familiarity and building confidence in them because you want them to grow in the local house. So everything you do in discipleship or follow up must instill confidence. Confidence. Watch them. If they are not comfortable with something, tell them, is there any question you want to ask me? Is there something you're not comfortable with? It's okay. I didn't carry a Bible. Because you can take my own Bible. Because you are there as the supplier. I didn't carry a pen. You can give them your own pen. You have grown in revelation. If you don't write in that meeting, you will write in the evening when you now play it again and you rewrite. But you are looking out for your disciple. Your work as a shepherd and pastor have started. You look out for them. You look out for them. You look at, because they are your crown. That's where I'm going. And what do you do to your crown? You protect your crown. They are your crown. You look out for them. And the way you are looking out for them is the same spirit and attitude they're already seeing you that they are going to handle others with. They too will start looking after their own disciples like that. They will know that after born again, the person must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Then the person has to come to a local house where the person will grow. And the way they treated them is the way they will treat their own disciples. I want the same page here. So now all through this week till Bible school is over, you will be testing your persuasion, your persuasive ability. This gospel that has persuaded you to the point that you are going out to preach, this gospel is the gospel you too will go and persuade others. What is the sake of evangelism? When you have evangelized people, you say they are born again. They cannot be brought into the local house. That means the harvest can be rotting somewhere. The harvest will be somewhere not being attended to, and it will become corrupted. Influences of religion. That means your work is not complete. Your work is not done. A work half done is a work not done at all. Yeah. A work half done is a work not done at all. So the week that is before us is a week where we are going to be what? Establishing the fruit of our labor. We are going to be making full proof of our ministry by making sure that the souls we have won, they come in. And at the course of follow-up and discipleship, you still have the opportunity to win fresh souls. Do you understand that? It does. You win fresh soul. And as you are winning them today, some, you they get born again today, they can compel them and they'll be with you this evening. So you start planning your our program. By God, we close by 4:30 today. The moment we close, immediately, you just jump out. You are going after your soul. You have told them you are coming. You are going after them. You get there. Somebody said, I got there and I didn't see the person. You call. That's why it's good. You know them to the address that they gave you. You call. You go to the address. I'm looking for someone. Oh, he was around. He just went out. At least they know you came. Okay. You go to the next one. Or you may take that time and say, no, I cannot come without a spiritual experience or have benefit, done something profitable. You now get somebody born again. You get somebody born again and say, right now. And God can so give you such a consolation that the person says, I would like to follow you. And he follows you to church. It has happened severally. The person you wanted to bring today was not ready. Then the person you never thought of, you got born again right now. The person says, I want to go. And you bring him to church. You have been consoled. You brought a harvest to church. Then eventually that one also comes. So that persuasive ability, as you are going on your way, and as you are reaching out to somebody, you are showing in your heart that truly I am a servant of Christ. I care about people. I care about souls. My Christianity is not mouth. It's not glory. They check you. There's nobody you are discipling. Nobody you are growing. Only to sit down in Power City and argue and make noise and disturb us and occupy space. We have not seen the fruit of your labor. It's not the kind of believers who want people who bring results, who are concerned and are persuaded about men. Praise God. As a praise God. So that is the work that we are to do. Glory to God. So I told us something about the reality of the new creation. Is it not so? The reality of the written word, we dealt with that. Well, we talked about the fulfillment of the promise that is made to the prophet, which is in the person of Christ. That's why the word of God is a reality. That means the word pre-existed has become incarnate humanity. And because it is spoken and there is a reality of that person that prophecy spoke about, the word is real. And that means if that could happen, it means I can stake my life on the scripture. The scripture is also true when it has to do with me because the scripture has worked. Is it not so? It has worked in the appearance of God in the flesh. So if prophecy could work that accurately, I can stick my life on that same scriptures. Praise God. Then we looked at the reality of our redemption, the value that is on the price. The value. That means I must have value for men. The value for men is the value that is in the price paid. So every man, both the person I'm discipling or the sinner I am yet to meet, the sinner must have value in my eyes. That this person, the way I talk to the person, the way I see this person's future, it will affect the way I speak, the way I am persuaded, and the way I does not easily give up on the person. Because the same way God has value for him or her is the same way I have value. Because of value I have for my disciple that I'm discipling, it doesn't matter what he does. Sometimes they are lying to you like this. Love believeth all things. Amen. They are lying, but yet you still believe they are lying. You tell them, don't worry. Don't say you are lying. Satan is already in your mouth. Satan is already taking over you right now. I don't like it when people lie. Didn't you say you are born again? How can somebody be born again be lying like that? You are lying, and I know you are lying. Come, let me pray for you. Every lying spirit, come out of his tongue. You are spoiling the discipleship. You know they are lying, even on phone. I am not going to be around. He's at home telling you I'm not going to be around. By the time you appear, he's already in the house. He's still in the house. Then you caught him red-handed. Then he spoils his face. Oh. Disciples are like that. They are like babies in the faith. They don't know why they are even saved and know the benefit of what you are doing. Until tomorrow, they will now remember, thank God this person stuck with me. I would have missed out big time. But if you easily discourage and you left them, they won't be the man of God and the woman of God that they are today. So when they lie to you and they behave funny, know that that is spiritual growth that they need. They are babies in the spirit. They are trying to grow. So when they exhibit baby tendency, just allow them, laugh over it, endure, overlook, and insist in love, and move them to where they ought to be. They will thank God for you tomorrow. Praise God. As a praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. And also in doing discipleship, you are a brother. You don't dress carelessly. You dress smart. How you appear matters. How you appear matters. Whatever we draw attention, whatever we draw attention to you as a sister, to you as a brother, you don't dress and just expose your chest and just come. Are you a gangster? You are not a gangster. Amen. Say, Jesus is Lord. We cover the earth. We cover the earth. Amen. And we are covering your chest. No, your chest needs to be covered so that we can cover the earth. So there's a way you look that looks so that you are somebody who is of great value that needs to be looked into and be respected. How you look matters. How you look matters. Your instrument for ministration is your mouth. It's your mouth, your appearance, and your presence. Amen? Yes, your presence. Glory to God. You'll find out that you carry an extra unction. Your body flows with an extra unction that even Elijah and Moses quiver at the presence of the body unction. So what do? You get roll on. You get something that can kill that anointing before that anointing kills a disciple. Amen. Yes, how you appear matters. How you appear matters. You do that. It matters. And even when you are speaking, you speak not to be spoken of again. Amen. Glory to God. So your mouth, you brush, the tongue is brushed. You need mint, something that will help your breath. You do it. You have a breath issue. Do it. Not as you are ministering, the soul is looking another direction. And is believing God that this counseling and this discipleship should be over very soon. They are planning to run out of the environment. Because the moment you step in, you took over the atmosphere. The atmosphere was taken over, colonized, arrested by reason of the unction that flows from you. Unction to function for gunction. Amen. That means the gun coming out of the mouth is a powerful one with a bullet that can kill. Amen. You do something. So this is part of all what you have that preaches. Your mouth, your breath. You walk on it. Because it's a presence you carry. One more time, people receive you the way you appear before they want to hear what you say. That's what somebody said. The way you dress determines the way you will be addressed. The way you dress. So your outlook matters. Your outlook matters a lot. Very importantly. Praise God. As a praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's sometimes that's how you look like Moses. You look even more than Moses. Some people keep beard, the beard come like that, plenty beard like that, to a point that even Moses will be competing in this class of beard men with you. I saw a young guy with beard and I was afraid. As if this Moses resurrected, I mean, it was too much. I mean, the entire head was beard. The entire head. If you put the beard together to cover his whole head, it was so mighty and highly lifted up. It was there all the time. So when you come before a soul be what? Is this a goat? Or is my disciple? Amen. You trim the beard. There's a sizable stuff. I mean, you know what to do now. Praise God. Hallelujah. All these helps in getting the message across. We are laughing now, but it's a point. Praise God. You don't need too much of expensive perfume. You can get roll-on, and it takes care of that. Amen? It takes care of that because it will help the discipleship and help the ministry. Because as I said, you can have the call of God, and your ministry will be resisted. It will be resisted. Do you understand me? I understand everything. Don't even teach again. You can wake up close now. Everything. Even plus the one you're about to say, I understand. Dr. Ebed Amin has taught you well. He wants you to go on time. Because he can't stand your presence. Your unction is too much. The unction is too much. So that's how you deal with that. And before you know, you are fine and you are raising disciples. Even your disciple, they may have limitations in understanding that. Sometimes you are coming to your disciple, find out that he has not observed that. You can buy a roll-on, something, and bring for him. I just thought you should have this because it also helps your personality, helps you, just a gift from you. You have sent a message. You have sent a message. It's part of your discipleship. It's part of your discipleship. It's part of your discipleship. Praise God. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. So in the reality of a new creation, we're talking about how bad the new creation is what? It's a man that is born of the Spirit. Is it not so? And that is where you deal with mindset, right? You deal with doctrinal mindset, strongholds, all this ancestral cause, bloodline, everything. That's where you pull it down. Because there you are coming out on war. You are about to war. We're giving you the vital points that helps you while preaching. You don't gloss over new creation. No, new creation is when you are born again. Now that you are born again, the new creation is a new man, a new species. It's not a refurbished man. It's a man that has not existed before. Therefore, you cannot have generational curses. You bring it down, bam. Even if you are seeing signs of it around you, the things you have seen with your parents, you are a new creation. You must establish that doctrinal framework mightily upon the life of that person. Destroy strongholds. Hey, you know where I come from? In our tradition, no. You belong to a new country. And that country has a new law. It's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And this is how we function, by the fruit of the spirit. If you are wrong, apologize to your brother. Don't say you are doing big boy and the senior. Senior doesn't apologize. You are pulling down traditional strongholds in his or her mind. Because the life of Christ in him has to be made known in the family. Yeah. Husband to wife. You tell husband is wrong, you must apologize. In this kingdom, don't say in our place, husband, don't say, I'm sorry. No, because no, you are not from that village. You are not from that tradition. You have a new tradition now. And Christ is the Lord of all in this new kingdom. So you confess your fault one to another so that your relationship will be healed. By the time you start teaching that, you are putting down strongholds in the mind. You are helping him be a wonderful husband, a wonderful family member, that the life of Christ can be seen, and that is the message itself being demonstrated. Are we on the same page here? You are tearing down a lot of things in his life and putting down strongholds in his life. That is the way it works. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes. So we are in those realities of the new creation. The next reality, I will take it tomorrow. All right? We'll take it tomorrow and show you vital points. The other things you will read, because doctrinally, Papa has taught us, is so simple. We have the framework. But what should stand out in your bringing them teaching and impact in the life of your disciple, they are the things we're emphasizing. So it will make your discipleship robust, rich, and impactful. So as your disciple comes from week one, he has gained some ground. Week two, week three, he does not believe in generational causes. Bloodline, what did they call it? Bloodline, generational nonsense. He doesn't believe in it. He knows that he's a man in Christ. That is what the new creation should have. Not that 3 years later, your disciple is telling you, I went to the village and they told me I need to do sacrifice because they say everybody in our family needs to do. You didn't train him well. You didn't train him well. If you have trained him 3 years ago, he will not be saying that. He would have been the man. He will be teaching his family that revelation and bring them free and preach salvation. That he's still talking like that, you miss that point in teaching the new creation. You didn't pull down that stronghold. That's why it's still existing in his mind. Don't pull it down. Don't pull it down. They say, I must carry beans and walk through the entire village and be dancing. And dance around a major tree. That tree is like where the deity of the village is. They say, I can do it. Even Christians are doing it. Even men of God who come to here, who belong to our family, my cousins, other people are doing it. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. You didn't deal with it. That's why she's seeing nothing wrong with it. He's seeing nothing wrong with it. You never dealt with it. You never dealt with it. New creation. You are tearing down things. The new species. If he's new, that means he has not existed before. So how can he have generational causes from? Bloodline nonsense. No, not you. You hail from God. You are born of God. You so teach it until we see the reality in his consciousness and the strongholds are torn down. So it's an affront on mindset. So when he hear new creation, he knows what it means. It's not mouth. You have taught him well. You have taught him well. He goes to the village and he wants to come back. He won't disappear. He's leaving tomorrow. He won't say he's leaving 2 days' time. He will say he's leaving tomorrow, and that tomorrow he will leave. He's not afraid of anything. Not afraid of anything. When are you going? Are you going now? Say, yes, I may be going now. What am I going now? I'm going next week. Why he has arranged his bag tonight, he will follow through the farm behind the house and appear at the junction before you know he's at the park. A machine will carry him to the center of the village where buses are. Fiat, he has gone. And he's telling everybody he's leaving in 2 weeks' time. He's not confident on the fact that the new creation is a master of Satan, master of demons. They say, wait, who disciples you matters? That's why we're telling you the vital points. It's not reading manual. Let us read. Let us read now. Have you read? Do you understand? Yes. The next page. Is that how you are discipling? If that's why this discipleship training is very important. You know, the teachers are telling you some things that you need. But as the Bible school coordinator, I'm telling you now, the fact, what is it that must be? See, discipleship is that you are raising a specimen of a person. When I say you're a disciple, I'll know whether you have done work on the person or not. In the way I'm feeling, in fact, can you come and pray with me after 3 years, your disciple? Or even after 6 months, your disciple? Is still fear? Is he how people will fear? Can you come and pray with me? I just woke up this morning and one small breeze with strange wind. The window was doing bam, bam, bam. It's wind. Then some things were moving on the ceiling. Brr, brr, brr. I know that they are enemies. They have come. Can you pray with me? They have you. Can you pray? It's rats. 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 Mark is chasing Joseph over a crumb of food they picked from your house. And they are running like Tom and Jerry in your ceiling. And they have the right to run around. Because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the ceiling and they that dwell therein. They should be run. So they have right to run. Since they can't run in your house, they should run in your roof. They have the right to be there. They are part of the creations of God. Amen. They should run. When they run like that, you don't like that kind of house, you change the house. Because they disturb your sleep. But that you stand up, is it rats you are binding? If you are tired, put chemical, let them eat and die. They will now fall and die. Which is okay. Amen. It's how we know how you have raised your disciple. It's how we know how you have raised your disciple. I slept and I dreamed one bad dream. The dream is so bad, sir. I want to come now. I want you to pray for me. Don't you think I need deliverance? Because the way I'm dreaming bad dreams these days. You didn't pull down strongholds. If you pull it down, he wouldn't think like that. He would just dream and wake up and say, what's the meaning of that? I saw myself in the coffin. Nobody sees himself in the coffin and stays there. I saw myself in the coffin and I woke up. No, that cannot be me. He wouldn't pray about it. That cannot. Because the way you harass dream, that dream, we are not led by dream, but by the word. It will remove dream. Any value it has for dream disappears. Me, dream that I died. Let's think of something different. Because disciple, your voice will be ringing in his consciousness. When he hears dream, that's how he treats dream. Because of the way you treat dream. You pull it down and tore dream in pieces. Made the nonsense of it. Dream for what? Me dream that evil is coming. Let it come now. Satan can't pursue me. I'm the one pursuing Satan. You turn him right side up. Discipleship. That's how you raise people. That's how you raise people. You teach him to lay hands on himself when he's not feeling well. In the name of Jesus, I command every pain in my waist to go now. Now, now. In the name of Jesus. He's over. He speaks in tongues. He stretches his leg. You taught him that. And he walks away. And he exercises faith in healing. And he's healed. So when he has pain, before he will reach you, he had dealt with issues by himself. He's the one that seems to be beyond him. He calls you. Then you ask him, before you call me, what have you done? He says, sir, I did this. I did this. I did that. Okay, let me take it over from there. You are teaching him a lesson in Christian experience. But he has not done anything. He's calling you direct, your disciple. You didn't raise him well. Praise God. Are we good now? That's what you do. Raise them well. Reality of the new creation. Abba, deal with things. Deal with things. Pull down strong. You'll be warring against mindset and strongholds. Pull it down. Fear, pull it down. Because fear brings bondage. Pull it down. Appetite for prayer, collecting prayer, prayer house. You met him, he has, when you meet people, as you start raising disciples, you find out where their history has been. That is the area you are pulling down. Every faith they have in prophets, destroy it. Prayer house visiting, collecting articles, anointing oil, tear it down scripturally and tell them that that oil people are drinking, you are the bottle and the spirit of God in you is the oil. So as you are going, you are the power of God contained. Anybody's house you enter, the power of God has entered. That you are God's power in that family. They say when you speak, they catch fire in the entire consciousness and they leave you bigger than they met you. That is discipleship. You slap Satan and ignorance out of your life. That's how a discipler talks and raises people. You radicalize him and make him violent in the spirit, where he takes no nonsense from Satan. That's discipleship. You are discipling somebody, is he talking defeat? I don't know whether I will make it, I will not make it. What? You are a success. You are a success. You can't have the spirit and you're not a success. By the spirit of excellence in you, you are an eternal excellency. You are a success. You are far from failure. If you fail, it's because you refuse to do nothing. There's a way you talk to your disciple, failure disappears from around his life. It's no more his mentality, because failure is a mindset. You destroy it away from his life. He tells you, pray for me. What he tells you, pray for, say, no, this one doesn't need prayer. It doesn't need prayer. Because in the Christian faith, in the Bible, there is faith, there is foolishness, there is presumption. This one you're talking about now is not faith at all. It's presumption. And presumption, most time, when well kept, it can hatch and become foolishness. This one is foolishness. You're talking about business. Things happen to men. Prayer won't solve this one. Where is your shop? Where your shop is right now, it could be the market has moved from there. Yes, economy must have moved from there, or your skills are already outdated. What are you selling? Scrutinize the business environment. If there's somebody in that trade that can help him better, connect them. Let the person tell him what to do for the business to thrive and do better. You are getting a mindset that everything in life is not prayer. You are helping him. It's part of discipleship. You see an opportunity for a job for your disciple, tell him, get me your application. Your application. You put it before somebody that you know an opportunity you have. I have a disciple that needs a job. He needs a job. Because you know, with a job, you will be around you to be disciple. Without a job, an offer can take him far away from you. Discipleship has ended. So you keep him around. You get him a job. You are out for things that will promote his well-being. All is part of discipleship. Are we on the same page, sirs? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Any question? So, follow up. Discipleship is persuasion. is persuasion. Is persuasion. Praise God. Yes, I have 4 minutes now. Yes, there's a question here. Give me the microphone. You can have this one. Is it on? Okay.
Good afternoon, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome.
My question is, when you get someone born again and that person already has a church,
yes,
he or she is going,
yes,
how do you handle such situation?
Okay. It's a good one. The person has a church, a gathering, an ecclesia, but Christ is not taught. Why, if the person needs to be in that church, the church would have taught him what he should know before you met him. He's in that church yet, he's not born again. He's in that church yet, he's not filled with the Holy Ghost. He's in that church yet, he will not understand the call of God. That means he's part of the people God sent you to. He's in the wrong church. But you won't tell him he's in the wrong church, so they don't pour you hot water. You will bring him the message. If you see his tie, I know people have been in a place for years. They have built a community, friendship. All they knew and their support system is in that church. It's easily to difficult to move them overnight. Those ones, you put them in a bracket where bombardment, explosive discipleship. They will hear things from you they have never heard, apart from born again and getting filled with the Spirit. To a point, they will so hear of you that when they start hearing their pastor, they'll be marking script. A time will come and meet you. Excuse me, sir. Something like this. Is it correct? You take Bible and explain. It's already growing. You now know difference between what the pastor is preaching in his church and what you are teaching him. You use scripture to further deepen your impact. Gradually, he will become a problem. He will raise his hand to ask question. You ask question that will create commotion. Finally, persecution will come. It's at that point you now advise him. Don't you think we should come to Power City and come and say, let me carry so let go. If you go there, maybe you will feel at home there. He comes, he hears the word of God. You drove him to a point of impact, then persecution. Then they show him the way. So such people, that is what to do. Don't be in a hurry to ask them to come because they're already connected to a community and it's difficult to uproot them. They will leave through the impact of the gospel. Then that same community they trust in and support system will persecute them and push them out. Then they will come. Through your ministry, you know it's going to happen. So you are multiplying your impact in his life because you know the end product. That's what you do with such people. Praise God. Yes, sir. You're welcome. Welcome. Yes, sir.
Okay. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right. And you meet it. So after I disciple him,
yes,
preaching to him, he gets saved. Then coming for a place of filling him with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You have taught him throughout the scripture, especially if it's elderly, like those elderly people.
Yes, yes.
And you taught him all the scripture. He said that he will not speak unless the language he know.
Yes.
In such case, what will it do to the person?
If you meet such a person, you will now give him an analogy that there are things, ask him, do you want to do the will of God? As I see you, God wants to use you mightily to preach, not only preach, to preach with power, with signs and wonders. Follow it. I know you love God. Say, love God. And I know you want to see God move in your life, in the life of others through you massively. Yes, sir. Let me show you how Jesus told his disciples. Disciples of Jesus were like you. They didn't have the Holy Ghost and they thought it was okay for them to go and do ministry. Jesus said, wait, don't go. Yes, I'm sending you the promise of the Father. It's the promise of the Spirit. And it's with that you are going to do ministry. So if he's going to serve God at a very serious level, you will need that. There are people like you, you need to preach the gospel to. Do you want to appear in heaven without any crown? Only you are standing, nobody is with you. You will need that Holy Ghost baptism because it will launch you into ministry. And doing it is not for you. You don't need to like it. But because Jesus wants it for you, and you will need it as what you will need instrument to do ministry. So when you appear before Jesus, you will be rewarded well. That's why you need it. Me too, I didn't understand very well before I had it, but it's helping me today. This is what it does to you. They now recount again the benefit of speaking in tongues. You show him. Is your problem in the area of speaking language? Look at what the Bible says. If you have your own Bible, bring it and see. This is what it says. That's why, if it's not in the Bible, we'll not have preached it. Mary spoke in tongues. Peter, they call Peter the first pope, he spoke in tongues. John, James spoke in tongues. If these people, do we know better than them? Anything good for them will also be good for us. I know they are older than us. And Jesus himself said, well, we need it. That's why you, with these words, you persuade. You use analogy until they begin to consider gradually. Gradually. And while that is going on, you'll now be teaching them things they don't know in the Bible. You see, like the things I'm showing you now, it will take the Holy Spirit together for you to understand well. That is why you need not only speaking in tongues or power, it helps you to comprehend easily. You see how limited you will become in serving God if you don't flow in the Holy Ghost. That's why you will need it. With those words, gradually, you open up because they have lived so long and become old. The stronghold is as old as their age. So it's serious there. You are going to be pacifying until you boomer it down and they'll flow in the Holy Ghost. But you will be patient. Bless you.
Good afternoon, Dad.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you for the opportunity, sir. I want to ask if you went for evangelism. And the person that you
are. Yes, I went for evangelism.
Like, I'm talking to myself. Like, so, as like, if I went to evangelism and the person that I wanted to preach the gospel to doesn't under, like, it does not understand English.
English.
Yes. So, at that point, what am I going to like to do?
That's why we go two by two and in the same area. If somebody does not understand English, they understand only a BBO, and yes, both of you understand English, and you can't, or you are even a BBO, but you can't speak it fluently. Because we're in the same area, you will say, I'm coming. My partner, stay with this one. You go and walk on that street and find in the team those people who are preaching somewhere. Say, excuse me, the other one is preaching. Do you speak a BBO very well? They said, no. Oh, you go to the, because we're in the same area evangelizing. You will find somebody who speaks a BBO, want to preach a BBO to somebody. So the person will come and preach for you people. Yes, when he preach, he get the person born again. Eventually, you may hand over the soul to him because the person speaks a BBO. And this is an BBO unction minister. He will take care of him. The soul must not be lost. Then you will go and win soul again. I mean, somebody who can hear a BBO at the same time English and still preach. All is for Christ. So thank we'll you, look sir. For somebody who speaks the language.
Thank you, sir.
It helps. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are we good now? Amen. So as we leave here now, it's action. We go out, reach out to them. 4:30 today. We'll moderate the timetable. 4:30 today, bam, we close. To give you time to do some stuff, jump out, have that time. So as you are coming with your soul into the place. So you will go with me, class rep. We'll find out from Pastor Moyo and from the office for magazines we can give out. We'll bring it and make it available. We can have two, as the case may be, depending on your disciple, or we can have one. You can go today, start with the gift. We came with a gift for you from Papa, Global Baba, Dr. Ever Damina. He asked me to come and check how you are doing. You can have it. Then as you are talking with them, you saw them, the need for him to see them in church today. Yes, you planned that. So how do I come and get you? I will come and come and get you here. They know you are coming to receive them. They will prepare to come. Persuade them. The Bible says, with these words and many other, he persuaded concerning the kingdom of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are we good now? Celebrate you. Have a wonderful day.